Hi, this is Chad Nye, and we're back today talking with Conversation with the Authors with Dr. Jamie Schwartz, who is the author of The Finding, Analyzing, and Implementing Phonemic Awareness Intervention. And Jamie is associate professor at the University of Central Florida, Department of Communication Sciences Disorders. Jamie, start by telling us a little bit about what's the difference between phonological awareness and phonemic awareness.
Well, that's a good question, and oftentimes those two terms can be a little bit confusing. What we need to think about with phonological awareness is it really is an umbrella term, which encompasses a number of things, and it also includes phonemic awareness. And let me just elaborate a little bit on the sort of the components of phonological awareness. The first would be awareness of words. That is the child able to hear or detect the individual words and sentences? It then progresses to syllable awareness, where the child is then able to hear or detect syllables within words, and then moves to an awareness of the rhyme in words, as well as the beginning sounds of words, and finally to the phonemic awareness, which is hearing or detecting the individual sounds or phonemes in words. So it's really a hierarchy in terms of awareness, with phonological awareness being sort of the umbrella and moving from the larger unit of the word to the smaller unit of the sound.
And so what's the importance to the speech-language pathologist? Is one more important than another?
I think that both of them are important, and they're important particularly in terms of both the age and abilities of the child. If we think about phonological awareness, thinking about the larger units of sound, phonological awareness is very important during the early years, the preschool years. And during that time, we have children engaging in, you know, rhyming-type activities. So the phonological awareness is quite important at that early age. And phonemic awareness becomes most important as the child is starting to learn how to read and being able to decode words, so being able to detect those sounds in words as well as being able to manipulate them. So depending on the child's level and the child's abilities, both phonological awareness and phonemic awareness are equally important.
So where does the difference lie as far as the speech pathologist is concerned when it comes to this literacy or readiness? How do you approach intervention when you have the two choices? Does one precede the other?
When you're working with children, you want to think about first the larger units. Even if the child is an older child who is having difficulty reading, you want to investigate their ability to detect those larger units, even the words, the individual words and sentences, but also importantly, being able to detect rhyme, being able to detect beginning sounds of words, ending sounds of words, those middle sounds in words. So in terms of literacy development and children who may be having difficulty reading, thinking about the larger units first and then moving toward the smaller units. You wouldn't want to start out your interventions with the individual sounds of words if the child was really struggling to detect rhymes in words, for example.
The paper focuses on, has to do, or is moving toward reading as the intervention task or goal. We often hear comments from speech-language pathologists about, I'm not a reading specialist, I'm a speech person. Why should the speech pathologist, do you think, be concerned about either of the skills, phonemic awareness or phonological awareness, unless it's somehow connected to speech production?
Well, I think that's a good question, and there certainly is lots of confusion and lots of debate within the profession about whether we should or shouldn't be engaged in reading. And I think the biggest issue to think about is that we aren't taking on the role of teaching reading to, let's say, typically developing children. We're really focused on those individuals who are having difficulties learning how to read. And our role comes in as experts in language. And if we think about language, we have oral language and we have written language. And written language is mapped onto our oral language abilities. So we are really in one of the best positions to be able to address written language difficulties. And also, we have in our scope of practice working on written language development and disorders. So I think it's important for the SLP to be knowledgeable not only about oral language development, but written language development based on our scope of practice. And for many SLPs, that means, you know, getting up to speed. Certainly our new SLPs who are coming out, many of them are being educated in terms of written language development and disorders. But for many of our SLPs practicing out in the field and who have been practicing for many numbers of years, this is certainly a new area and an important area for them to be able to address.
So what would the speech-language pathologist working on phonemic awareness do differently from, let's say, the reading specialist or the classroom teacher who was working on it? Or would they do anything different? Would it be the same kind of activity, just different focus, at least in terms of the root being an oral language?
Well, I think one of the differences between the SLP and the classroom teacher is that the classroom teacher is oftentimes focused on teaching the children to read. And when the children start to have difficulties or start to break down in the process, you know, certainly the reading specialist is called in to facilitate, and now oftentimes the SLP as well. In terms of the types of interventions or the tasks that would be involved, regardless of who would be administering that intervention, the interventions should be similar regardless of who is implementing them.
Okay.
Typically the classroom teacher, you know, again is working on, you know, helping all the children learn how to read and not necessarily focusing on the children's difficulties. That's
right.
Typically where the specialists come in.
Right, right. Okay, I want to talk a minute to you about how you went about solving the problem in the scenario that you presented in your paper. But in effect, you relied on one study to come to the conclusion about using phonemic awareness and what constituted a good approach and so forth. So, How did you do that? How can you rely on just one study? Because we're always told, you know, you need more evidence than a single kind of point to make judgments like that. So what was your rationale here for doing that?
Well, that's a good question, because it was one study clearly on the surface. But keeping in mind that the one study was a meta-analysis. And if we think about the hierarchy or the quality of research evidence, a meta-analysis is sort of at the top of the hierarchy, being perhaps the highest quality of evidence. And in the meta-analysis, Certainly the authors gathered all of the individual studies that they could find on phonemic awareness and interventions regarding phonemic awareness, and then synthesized all of that evidence. Clearly the study was done in 2001, and it's now a few years past that, and lots of additional research has come out, but this is the only systematic review and meta-analysis that has been that Lila and Mark found based on their search and the tools that they had to be able to search for the quality of evidence. So I think they did the best job they could with finding the meta-analysis and interpreting that meta-analysis as far as they could. Is there new evidence and a new review and meta-analysis that should be done? Probably. But for the evidence that they had, they made the best decision that they could make based on that one study.
Right, and the fact that they're working clinicians and don't have access to the same kinds of resources that you might in the university environment makes the illustration at least seems to me a bit more real life than might otherwise be. In the scenario, if you were the clinician, and Layla, and you, you implemented a, if you were the clinician and you were Layla, and you implemented this phonemic awareness intervention, you found it worked for a while, or that it worked for a period of time, at least in terms of improving the skills that you thought were important for improving reading performance. But the reading didn't improve sufficiently. That is, there still were problems. Where would you go from there? What would you do next?
Well, that's a really good question, and one that certainly clinicians are faced with all the time. And for the past 5 years or so, phonemic awareness or phonological awareness have been a major focus for intervention for practicing clinicians. But certainly that's not the only piece that's important in reading. So we may be able to bring a child along in terms of being able to, for example, segment the sounds in words, decode that word into its constituent parts, and then blend those sounds back together to form the word. And the child may become more skilled at being able to do that. But because there's other features to reading, for example, fluency. So if the child is decoding, typically that's a slow and laborious process. So what we want to help the child be able to do is to become a more fluent reader. So the next step may be increasing the child's fluency. Another area may be comprehension. Again, because the child is spending lots of their energy on decoding words, sometimes that, or certainly oftentimes, the comprehension is also impacted on. So helping that child to become a more fluent reader, investigating their comprehension skills, are all areas that you certainly want to investigate further. Once the child is beginning to be able to decode words and being more successful in terms of phonemic awareness.
Very good. What is it that the speech pathologist can learn from the reading specialist about this whole literacy process in which phonemic awareness or phonological awareness is part?
Well, I think that both the reading specialist and the speech-language pathologist can learn lots from each other. And I think, forming collaborative working relationships with the reading specialist in the school as well as the classroom teacher and work together in terms of the kinds of expertise that each of those professionals brings to the table is probably what we should be doing. I don't think that one person necessarily has all of the answers or knows more than the other, but certainly the collaboration can help us to better help the children by learning from each other and getting information from each other and focusing on the needs of the child.
And what about a parent? What can a parent do to support or supplement at home for those kids who are being served by the speech pathologist for phonemic awareness?
Well, I think certainly for the young children, parents, you know, can just engage in reading activities with the child, reading to the child, engaging in shared storybook readings, playing rhyming games, reciting nursery rhymes, singing songs that have lots of rhymes to them, helping that young child become more aware of the sound system of the language. As the child gets older and perhaps they're in school learning how to read, or even if they're struggling readers, again, you know, setting aside time to be able to read with the child to help the child again become more aware of the process, helping the child to understand that reading isn't about saying the words, but understanding what it is that those words mean. And sometimes that gets lost in our efforts to help the child read individual words. Certainly parents, if they feel that their child is having some difficulties reading or aren't reading the way that perhaps the older child in the home was reading at that age, they'd want to seek out some, you know, professional advice, perhaps an evaluation with the speech language pathologist, talking to the classroom teacher about the kinds of activities that might best benefit their child, but engaging in, you know, both reading and writing activities at home with their child to provide that literate environment is very important, whether they're a typically developing child or a child with a reading disability.
Okay, I think that's our time is about up here. I appreciate your taking the time to talk with me for a few minutes. And if listeners have interest in contacting Dr. Schwartz, the contact information, email, and so forth on the article and online at EBP and in speechlanguage.com, the EBP briefs. And thanks very much.
Well, thank you for having me.